Welcome to Back to Ours, a new podcast for Barking and Dagenham, brought to you by Studio 3 Arts and part of a campaign developed by the Cultural Partnership and Council Safeguarding Teams. Look out for campaign materials using hashtag BDProtect. So we've started this podcast as a way to keep the community together, safe and healthy through lockdown, distancing and beyond. In each episode, we'll be interviewing some of the amazing people who live and work in our borough about the stuff they've been doing in lockdown. We'll also be talking about the ways you can support your family and neighbourhood so our community is the best it can be. So, grab a cuppa, settle in and let's crack on. It's all back to ours. Hello.
Oh, hi there.
That was very businesslike. Oh, hi there.
I just thought I'd mix it up a bit. You know, we're like quite a lot of weeks in, so I was just trying to think of different greetings.
Yeah, that's why I went with all the different languages last week, but I wasn't expecting such a kind of, you know, new statesman sort of approach from you there.
That isn't quite what I was going for, but I guess it's apt at the moment in the times we live in.
Oh, the times we live in, the statesmen of our times, eh?
How are you?
I'm all right, love. I'm all right. I'm a bit sore. I did a bit of training this morning on the old legs. So walking up and down the stairs to get to my little room where I record these podcasts has been a bit of an ordeal. But I'm here now and I'm on my wheelie chair. And from now on, I'm just going to move around on the wheelie chair.
Oh, cool, Jay. That sounds very comfortable. That part, not the rest.
How was your week, love?
My week was all right. I did, yesterday I had a lovely day with me and my nephew. We went over Barking Park. He made lots of friends. I was mistaken for his dad quite a few times, which was, I don't think I've ever had that before, because I guess I've never been on my own with a child sort of like at a park.
Dishy dad syndrome.
Yeah, well, exactly. Is he your only one? And I was like, oh, no, he's not mine. He's not mine. But yeah, so that was a bit different. That was a new experience and we had a lot of fun. And then my legs are also aching today, but more because he did play so much and had such a good time. He then didn't want to walk home. So here I am. And three-year-olds are not as light as you think, you know.
No, they're not. They're not. They're like a sack of spuds.
But they think they're still very light. Like, I think they still think they're just like as easy to carry as anything. Okay, you're quite heavy. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. How about you? Aww.
Well, it was my birthday, as you know.
I do know that. How was it?
I had a really nice birthday, actually. It was filled with lots of nice messages and lovely little gifties and nice cards and stuff like that. And it was really nice. And we had the old murder mystery in the garden on Saturday night, like I was telling you.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Did you enjoy it?
This might be my thing, you know, making people just come and entertain me and my children in the garden.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun. It was a bit different, you know, because at the moment, like, what actually can you do? And actually, you couldn't even have that geezer in your garden now because of the old rule of six that came in yesterday. But it was, it was interesting and it was really fun. And I had lots of nice food. And still people are calling me up saying, can I take you out for dinner? And now I don't know if that's allowed. Is that allowed?
No. Yeah, that's allowed. Oh, I'm going to be really honest with you and say that today I've been in a bit of a funk today just because the announcement for me just, and it isn't about, you know, it's not about me not being willing to do stuff because I understand that this is important. I think, again, what I'm frustrated about is, again, I'm just back to being really confused about what I can and can't do.
Yeah, that's the thing. It did feel a little bit murky last night. And I understand the function of the rule of six, but just I'm not sure how it's being applied kind of thing. So I was a bit confused. Yeah. But I think I need to do a bit of reading and just kind of understand a bit more about what it means, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm the same. And I think I need to, I think it's just because it's been, well, the last 6 months it's been now, hasn't it? I think my brain just went, oh, not again. Like, what is, you know, can you just give me clarity? I think I just found it a bit confusing about, like, so you can have no more than six in your garden, but then you can go into a pub with six people, but there can be lots of, yeah. Anyway, I'm just a bit confused by it. But
I'm not
I'm not being funny, but eat out to help out seems like a distant memory now, don't it?
And it only ended like less than 2 weeks ago.
I'll be honest with you, though, that's probably a good thing because I was taking that a bit too serious, mate.
You saw it as a challenge, didn't you?
It was like that episode of The Simpsons when Homer goes into that all-you-can-eat restaurant and they end up chucking him out.
Oh, I remember that. I do remember that one, actually. That's a bit of a classic one, I think.
Yeah, that was how I've been modelling my behaviour. But no, I mean, yeah, we just need to kind of have a bit of time to work out what this means and sort of reframe it all again. But I feel a bit lucky, I've got to say, that my birthday sort of came before this message. So I think I would have been a bit too confused and would have just stayed in the house and done nothing, you know?
Totally. Yeah, I totally get that. I'm glad you got to have a nice weekend and enjoy that.
Yeah, and I guess, to be honest with you, the best birthday present for me, not going to lie to you, both kids now back at school.
How are they finding it?
So the big one, obviously, he's gone up to the secondary school. He's living his best life. He's loving it. He actually looks like he was born to wear an oversized blazer.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And the little one, he's gone back into year three and he's got the other kid's teacher from last year. So he feels like he's got this like connection to this teacher already, sort of thing. Well, yeah, you know what he's like. But the only thing he's disappointed about is that in the time of COVID, dodgeball is banned from PE.
I would have thought that would be a good one out of all of them.
Well, I mean, probably it might just be his presence in the class means dodgeball is banned because he is the most competitive person I've ever met in my life.
Ah, okay. I guess I'm thinking in a very literal way that you're trying to keep out of each other's way, but I suppose you're actually dodging the ball, so you end up bumping into each other a lot, don't you?
I think so. And yeah, you get a ball in your head, I suppose.
Yeah, it's a bit like, I suppose it's a bit like, you know, when they call them dodgings, but really they're bumper cars. So you can call it dodgeball, but really it's bumper ball, isn't it?
It really is. So, he was a bit dismayed to discover that fact, but he's just slotted himself straight back in. He's swerving doing any reading, so I do need to enforce some sort of strict regulations around reading because he's like nowhere to be found when any books appear. But I think, as we said at the beginning of this, same as the kids did at the start of lockdown, they just show their remarkable resilience and they just crack on. They've done the same with going back to school. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, kids are just better.
Yeah.
In all ways, they are just better. than the rest of us, which is and now I was about to try and think of a good segue into the interview, but it's not with a child, so I don't want to be like and now he's an adult who's not a kid that I spoke to.
Oh, but you have spoken to somebody very lush this week, haven't you?
Yeah, I had a really lovely chat with Alison, and we were talking a lot about the ways that the community was supporting each other and looking out for each other, but also rediscovering a love for the borough.
Oh, that's a nice segue. I do love this borough. What a nice way to start this off. So shall we have a little listen?
Let's do that.
Cracking. See you in a bit.
Hi, Alison. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me today. And if you could just introduce yourself to the listeners.
Hello, Matty. My name's Alison. I'm a Barking resident. And I also work as the community coordinator for the BD Collective.
Thank you very much. So what does that mean? What does your role usually look like?
Oh, gosh, I talk to everybody and everyone in the borough. So the BD Collective was set up to connect people, places and projects within the borough to advise on funding and working together, networking. What you find is there's a lot of fabulous, absolutely fabulous grassroots organisations in the borough that really don't get recognised. A lot of their work is done through passion, really, work on very little funding. And it's just nice to be able to recognise all those groups, see how that they can join up with another group that's doing a similar thing elsewhere and look for funding and find appropriate funding for them to extend their offer really to the community.
That sounds brilliant and really important as well. Does that mean, so what did that look like for you when the whole COVID and lockdown thing started? Did that kind of, I imagine your job was quite important at a time like that.
Yeah, it was. So the BD Collective helped shape the community support with BD Can. So we worked really, really closely with the council. And it was about 2 weeks maybe before the lockdown was announced that we cranked it up between the BD Collective and BD Can with the council to sort out what we were going to do and how we were going to do it, how the community could be cared for. We're really lucky because we had 9 locality leads spread across the borough who were voluntary organisations, really, and they took the lead and they did fantastic. The feedback I had from residents was absolutely phenomenal. You know, really, the community came together. It was amazing to see it. Obviously, I'm sitting in my bedroom at a child's desk on a kitchen chair trying to work through the hot weather, which was horrible. But just witnessing all the community coming together was just incredible, absolutely incredible. Makes you realise what an amazing borough this is and the massive sense of community spirit and cohesion and working collaboratively. It really is incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and I think, do you know what, that's come up time and time again, really, is this idea of in moments like that, and obviously it was so different to anything that anyone's ever experienced, it really did show how many brilliant people there are there willing to help others.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think what it was, everyone was in the same boat, wasn't it? This virus was going to kill anybody, no matter how rich you were, who you were, whether you were at the top of the tree or at the bottom, you know. It was a great leveller and a very big shock to everybody. And that's what brought the community together. Moving forwards, it's still got that momentum. There's still that momentum, that appetite there for this great community spirit. I hope that it carries on. I hope it's not forgotten about, but I don't think it is now that we've been told that there's only 6 of us can get together. So, you know, it looks as if it's going to carry on for quite a long time. And the incredible cooperation between everybody. So during it, we realised that the food banks were, you know, they do such fabulous things, but now they have a WhatsApp group and they share food between them and really working cohesively, which has made them a stronger network and, you know, it strengthens their offer. And it really is a beacon of what can be done.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. And I totally agree with you that I really hope that it's something that doesn't get forgotten. I think as well, as we've seen, and obviously I'm talking to you, so just so the listeners know, I'm talking to you on the Thursday. So yesterday was the big kind of announcement about, you know, limiting who we can see. I think people are aware there's changes. I think there's going to be a lot of people who are quite confused at the moment about what that means.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know so much because I was confused before about what you could and couldn't do. And, you know, there was no real, this is what you must do. But I thought yesterday, I actually sat and watched it, Boris Live, announcing it because I wanted to get my head around it all. And to me, it at least there's something firm.
Okay,
this is what they've said, which they were doing, the government were doing that throughout lockdown, weren't they, really? They were saying every day, I was watching the announcements and it was saying, you must do this, you must do that. And I think it sort of kind of lost its way a little bit. And so now they've said that, at least everyone knows where they stand. And, you know, I think July was a little bit strange because were we going back to normal? Were we not? Were we going to work? Were we not going to work? You know, it was all very confusing. But I think that needed to happen. Really.
Yeah, I think I just hope it's kind of easier for everyone. I know that it'll, you know, there's probably going to be people that are feeling a little bit anxious or a little bit worried because it feels like a step back. But hopefully in the long run, it'll, you know, speed things up and kind of allow us to move forward. But like you said, also remembering the lessons we've kind of learned from that. I just wanted to ask you about something because you mentioned it, and it's such a thing that I think maybe some people didn't realise quite how tough it would be. It's just this completely new working environment of like being at home.
I hated it at first. I really hated it, especially my job, because I'm out in the community, I'm meeting people. And so that was all very, very strange. And I think when you're in a job that is very people facing, you know, and you're working with people the whole time, it was very hard. And I must admit, when it first happened, the lockdown, I was frightened. I've got a 21-year-old daughter who was missing her friends and wanted to go out, and I was stopping her from going out. We had a humongous row about it all one day, didn't speak to each other for a week, because I was frightened. I was frightened for her safety. We didn't know what this virus was like. My parents are both very elderly. I'm very close to them, but they live in Suffolk. So that was torture for me, not being able to see my parents and knowing that they're both frail. Yeah, my dad's 93, my mum's going to be 83 soon, so she keeps telling me. And, you know, they're both in very poor health and I couldn't see them. And, you know, and I know that there's loads and loads of people in the same situation as me. And then having to work from home, my bedroom's really cold and I was in the corner of my bedroom. The last thing I saw at night was a laptop. The first thing I saw in the morning was my laptop. So I felt like I couldn't get away from work. I was in a horrible, cold, dark corner. We had all that lovely weather and I'm sitting there with a cardigan on, you know. Then trying to get your head round, I'm not the most technologically minded person in the world, but you know, to do Zoom and do the Teams meetings, and I found that all a little bit difficult, and particularly as well, one day I put some perfume on before a meeting and I sat there and thought, what an idiot, you know, because it was just a bonkers time really, and it was having to adjust very, very quickly to not doing normal things.
Yeah, totally. There was a lot of, it felt very strange, didn't it? It's funny you mentioned like putting the perfume on, because I remember after a certain amount of time, one day I got up and I got dressed and I went to put some aftershave on, some fragrance, and I was like, oh, what's the point? And I was like, no, actually, do you know what? I'm going to do this just because it feels normal.
Yes, yes. And I must say, I think being disciplined and being in that routine is a good thing. So I'm still getting up early as if I was going to go to work. I do then sit around with the coffee for an hour thinking, why did I get up so early? And I do also get dressed. My son lives out in Dubai and he was saying that on his meetings, he's got a pair of shorts and then a shirt and tie, which I think is hilarious. But he was saying the same thing. What keeps you going is a routine. But when you're locked down, it's very hard not to sort of slip out of that routine.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think at first I was very good. I say, you know, I was finding it quite easy. I got into this sort of like, you know, got up and I was sort of doing some exercise and then I'd get dressed. And then once I sort of fell out of it for a couple of days, getting back in took me a really long time.
Oh, incredibly hard. My daughter had been helping out at the food bank, and during Ramadan, they were open every single day. So she was furloughed at the time. And so she was up there every day and she was bringing back food and all the cakes and everything. And of course, I think exercise is bad for you because you always hurt yourself. And or at least I do. So I don't exercise. And of course, ended up eating all these fabulous cakes. And I know I've put on a stone. And you know, I've got a wardrobe full of clothes that I daren't even look at because I think none of them are going to fit. And so, yes, I miss swimming. I really miss swimming. So I've been swimming once the pools have now reopened. But I did miss that during lockdown. And luckily, we've got a couple of dogs, so we could do our hours exercise and go off out for a walk each evening. So we found things to do and to keep us ourselves occupied and to sort of get ourselves out and exercise. So, but I still haven't shed that weight.
Yeah, but I totally get what you mean. It's those little escape things, isn't it? So, and I'm with you. Swimming is my go-to as well. So I did really miss that. There were quite a few times when I was like, oh, I just want to get in a pool and just sort of switch off for a little while, you know?
Yes. Yes. And I grew up at the seaside and I was thinking, well, these lucky people that live by the beach and they've got this beautiful weather, they'd be in the sea every day. That would be wonderful, you know. And for us, I think that was a bit of a realism, is that we rely, living in London, on a swimming pool, don't we? So we haven't got that luxury of being able to pop to the seaside.
Yeah, I really agree. And it's partly getting in, and also for me, just being near the sea is so calming.
Yeah, and also with the swimming, you switch off, don't you? You totally switch off. Like, I know lengths are totally dull and very boring, but that's my time out. And, you know, when I can think and I've got time for myself. So, and of course I didn't have that, and because I don't do any other exercise, that it was hard to relax and not to worry, you know, and I didn't have that switch off time.
Yeah, especially when, like you said, like you're getting up and the first thing you see is your laptop, the last thing you see is your laptop, so home becomes work and everything just blurs into one.
It did. I was lucky because I had a relative staying with me, but they moved. So I've been able to turn the bedroom into turn it into an office, which is brilliant. And so now, you know, I go to the office, and which is all of 10 steps away, but at least I can shut the door of an evening and, you know, I've got that space. I really feel for people who don't have that space and who have small children as well. I don't know how they must be coping. To me, that would be just a complete horror. My son is, like I say, he's living out in Dubai, one bedroom flat. Him and his girlfriend were locked down out over there, both of them working from home. Consequently, they've both split up because the pressure was just too much. Totally too much, and it's that sort of saddened me to hear about it, but in another way I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really intense situation, isn't it, to be in a small space. And it's not even, like we said, it's not just like you're hanging out watching TV or, you know, doing whatever you normally do. Like, you're literally trying to work as normal, sharing a small space with between two people.
Yeah And I think that a lot of relationship breakdowns are going to be space and the pressure. Yeah, immense pressure.
Yeah, I think there's been a real difficulty sometimes with this thing of trying to carry on as if things are completely normal and not always allowing ourselves the mental space to kind of go, well, hang on a minute, this is really intense and stressful.
Yeah, particularly my daughter. I really felt for her because we both celebrated our birthdays during lockdown, but hers was her 21st, And that actually kind of broke my heart, because she kept saying, oh, I'm not bothered, I'm not bothered. She was bothered. We'd had a lot of things planned. But she made out she wasn't bothered. What upset me, because she kept saying to me, Mum, you're really upset about my birthday. Yes, I am. Because your 21st is a big thing. And it's a birthday that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. And, you know, that's a milestone birthday, isn't it? And all I could think of was, what an awful memory. What an awful memory when she's a little old lady, when her children, grandchildren say, what do you do on your 21st? What's she going to say? And I think mentally that is going to take its toll somewhere along the line. The fact that she wanted to go out and see her friends, and we had a big argument about it. We very rarely argue, we get on really well, but we had a terrible argument. And again, it was stress, pressure. I was frightened for her safety. She's a gung-ho teenager. And, you know, to try and stop her, at one point in the argument, she said to me, I could do what I like. I'm 21. I'm an adult. And I thought, yeah, she's right. She's right. But I was fearful of what would happen to her. You know, I didn't want to lose her. Mm. So terribly hard, you know. So I know our relationship, obviously it's back on track because it's all forgotten about. I still feel an immense guilt for having that argument, because it was such a terrible argument. But that was the pressure that we were all under.
Yeah, and I totally, you know, I live with my nan, and we don't argue. We don't, you know, occasionally we have little, you know, like anyone who lives together, but there were times where it felt, and even though deep down, I think we all knew that this isn't actually all about what we're discussing in this argument. It's the pressure of everything. Yes. Kind of tipping us over to boiling point.
Yes. Yes. Totally agree. Totally agree. Saying that, the weather was really nice, wasn't it? So we bought a very nice hot tub, a blow-up hot tub in Lidl a couple of years ago. So that came into its own, because while she was on furlough, when she wasn't working at the food bank, she was out splashing around in the hot tub. And that was lovely, because of night time, the sky was really clear and we were growing vegetables, which were all got eaten by little flies and stuff. We're not particularly good gardeners, but we gave it a go. And at night time, we'd sit in the hot tub just with some binoculars trying to watch the satellites. I think we saw one and a shooting star, and that was about it. And I kept getting fed up with everyone on Facebook saying, oh, we've just seen all these satellites and all these shooting stars and, you know, what have you in the sky, and we didn't see one. So that was quite amusing. So we found things to amuse ourselves. And I think, again, I'm very fortunate that I've got a nice little garden that we could have a hot tub and sit in that and relax. And so it was lovely. I think as much as we had one hideous argument, other than that, we got on really, really well. And we amused ourselves. And again, what everyone's been saying is that we became closer because we spent more time together.
Yeah. I think, so, it, you know, whether it was a choice or not, we had to all slow down, didn't we?
Yeah, that's right. And I couldn't believe that every night I was calling my mum, and we got to the point where we ran out of things to say, and that's never, ever happened in my life.
Yeah, there was no new stuff to talk about, was there? Which was weird.
It was really strange. Well, it changed halfway through, because my dad has gone into a home, because he really is quite frail. So my mum's all alone in the house, and she kept saying, I want a cat, I want a cat, and I want something to keep me company. So I found a lady in Dagenham who unfortunately lost her job and couldn't look after her two cats. So I bought them off her, and it was at the time when you weren't allowed to go out. So we've run the gauntlet down the A12 with these two cats, and I spent couple hundred quid on tons of food. I had to buy cat baskets, litter trays, you can imagine. And we run the gauntlet down the A12 because we thought the police were going to say, what are you doing? You know, it was empty, totally empty. Never seen it like that before. And she lives the other side of Colchester. So we got to the house. She was shocked to see us. And we just threw these cats at her and all their paraphernalia and drove back.
And oh, bless. She had someone to be with.
Exactly. So I've had to listen about these cats, these Dagenham boys, who have now become Suffolk terrorists. They kill every little fluffy bit of wildlife that they can lay their paws on. And they're decimating the Suffolk countryside's wildlife. And so that's given my mum something to talk about, because every day she phones me up and she'll say, oh, I had a headless baby rabbit in the kitchen this morning. And,
oh, wow, well, there's quite the update for you.
Yeah, these cats are bad boys, I tell you. And so it's given her something to do, something to focus on, because otherwise she had nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. So it was, we did, but we did think that we were going to get caught by the police and get told off, but we didn't.
You have to make a decision, I think. And, you know, I think that's, you know, sometimes tough decisions have to be made by people, because, you know, what you could see was the benefit that was going to give your mum.
Of course. And it has. Mm. It's changed her life. Because she had nothing. It was awful. She couldn't see anyone. And, you know, she's a very cuddly grandma. And no, she couldn't see anybody. You know, it was awful. It was absolutely awful. Couldn't see my dad. He was locked up in the old people's home. They wouldn't let anyone there.
That must have been so difficult for them.
Oh, dreadful, dreadful. It was hard, particularly on both my parents, because they've been together. They, beginning of October, they've been married for 60 years. So, you know, to now be towards the end of their lives and be apart and be afraid, you know, they both lived through the war. My mum tells me about how as a little girl she ran out the air raid shelter and the sky was orange and it was the Blitz on, you know, and she stood and watched it. And so they lived through all of that in their younger days, and now they're living through this as old people. That's heartbreaking.
Of course, yeah. And I can imagine as well, with all that, to sort of, you know, like we said, it's such a, like, all the things you've got to think about and all the worries you have, it must have been really nice in a way to be doing a job that, although I'm sure it was so stressful at the time, you're kind of getting to see the best of people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Without a doubt, 100%. That the amount of people that I had emails from wanting to volunteer, wanted to help, the amount of people that wanted to make donations, food donations, it was just overwhelming. And the services, everybody was able to quickly adapt to offering a online service, and that was wonderful. And you know, I know everyone was thinking outside the box, and it was just so lovely to see, so lovely to see, and that everyone responded so quickly. You know, there's a play group that used to do sessions in the library, but can't do it obviously, so it's all online or in the parks, or you know, it's just wonderful. And that's just one example. There's been loads and loads of people that have adapted their delivery to that situation and done it very quick.
And let's hope that momentum for people wanting to offer support and help in any way they can, let's, like you were saying earlier, let's hope that continues and we see that to be a real change that we sort of move forward with.
Oh, sure. And I think it will. You know, obviously, you know that it's going to lose a little bit of momentum. Lovely. But not that much. The other thing as well, which I thought was wonderful, was particularly, I'm quite a Facebooker. I might not say tons on Facebook, but I'm always looking at Facebook. And the people in the community, because it made me think, actually, because under normal circumstances, if it was nice weekend, nice weather, and you worked in London, you would probably say to your family, oh, come on, lovely weekend, we'll go Southend, or we'll go to the country, you know, go to Epping Forest or something. Mm-hmm. But no one could travel. So everyone's locked down, can't go on public transport. You know, you're not working. You've got this nice weather. And what I noticed was how everybody was discovering the local parks, which green spaces, which they wouldn't have done. Because in normal circumstances, you would have jumped in the car and gone to the beach. Or you would have got you get out of the area where you live, don't you?
100%, Alison. I mean, I live a short walk from Maysbrook Park, and I have been there. You know, I went there occasionally to have a little walk around, but I never realised just how lovely it was. And now I really sort of like treasure that, and knowing that. And even yesterday, like, I took my nephew to Barking Park, and I think I just know a bit those spaces a lot more. And you're like, wow, we've got some really beautiful spaces to utilise in the borough.
Stunning, stunning. So I live near Greatfields, and Greatfields hasn't changed for 100 years. That was a little Victorian park. And when you look at old photos of it, the same trees are still there. Absolutely stunning. And so we go there quite a lot. But also what I noticed is people were discovering the river and the riverside. Mm-hmm. And not only the River Road in, but also you know, along where they're building BRL, building the new Barcelona on Thames. So, you know, and people were talking about that, which, again, I think it's amazing. I took part in Studio Three's Arts Trail this year, and my bedroom is what should really be the front room. But I had a poster up, and I had the QR code that street tag were doing. So I used to come home from work and find people standing in my front garden photos of my bedroom window. And at first I thought, this is a bit weird, but then I realized that they were doing the street tag, and that had teamed up with Studio 3 Arts. So I got talking to all these people that were lingering around in my, and there was one couple, we've lived here 20 years and we didn't even know there was a river in Barking. I was gobsmacked. I was absolutely gobsmacked. And so I said, oh yes, there is, you know. And they said, yeah, it's brilliant, it's absolutely brilliant, we've never been there. So they lived in Barking for 20 years but did not know there was a river. And which astounded me. But then when you think about it, if their life is living in London, you know, working in London, and they're commuting, and then at the weekend they're either shopping or, you know, they're going to visit relatives. Why would they know? Why would they visit? Why would they visit? Yeah. So I think that was a real benefit for the community to explore their local spaces, and what wonderful local spaces we have. I was sent a map by the park rangers, which they've made of all the walk that you can do right the way through Dagenham.
All right, that sounds great. That sounds
brilliant. Really I'll send it to you because it's absolutely brilliant. But you start at Beacon Tree Sports Centre, and you can end up right down by Barking Riverside.
Oh, brilliant.
Literally just following parks. And they sent me this map and I thought, this is incredible. It's a walk from north to south and just cross a couple of roads. And, you know, how amazing. What a fantastic asset the borough's got. And I think a lot more people are appreciating it and have realised what gems are on their doorstep.
Yeah, do you know what, I think that's really true. And I think maybe if it's helped us all, been a reminder to all of us what we've got on our doorstep, then that's no bad thing.
No, that's right. And especially the River Road in, I'm the trustee of the River Road in Trust. And we had lots of people asking us on our Facebook pages, you know, we're trying to open the path from behind Wicks up to Ilford. Now, that path hasn't been opened for 50 years.
Oh, wow.
And that's what we're trying to do. But we had people over lockdown going up there with taking secateurs with them, which was just brilliant. And, yeah. You know, this is local residents that had never walked up there before. And but we were saying, well, yeah, but it's fighting a losing battle trying to, you know, we haven't got the volunteers and we haven't got the resources, the manpower resources to keep chopping back the path. So they were taking their own secateurs and chopping as they walked. And which you just think, this is wonderful. This is real community spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they were all talking about it, didn't know it existed. You know, we were saying, well, yeah, you know, we're doing it. It's taking time. Now, obviously, you need to get permissions, namely from TfL, who don't seem to want to respond. But when we ask, is it okay for us to reinstate the path on your land? But we're sort of trying to do it. And I couldn't believe, I was down there on Sunday and I couldn't believe how many people use that path. And it connects to East Ham as well. Yeah, you end up at Little Wilford Park or somewhere, I don't know, a park in East Ham anyway, but it connects to there. And you stand on one bit and you're on the corner of all three boroughs, you know, and Barking and Dagenham, which is a little bit mad. And so, you know, it just goes to show. And I think our environment before lockdown, I was actually a little bit scared before lockdown because we were heading for a climate crisis and control. And I was getting a little bit concerned because America was not interested. And, you know, a lot of countries aren't interested, are they? And so in some ways that lockdown gave Mother Nature a bit of a breather.
Yeah.
Because we were heading for a terrible disaster. And I hope, again, that that momentum carries on, that people appreciate being able to see the stars in London, to hear the birds, you know, connect a little bit more with nature. And I think that as a borough, we're so lucky to have all these vastly beautiful open spaces with, you know, let's face it, a lot of mature trees that haven't been touched for hundreds of years. We are very lucky and we should all play a part in preserving that, really.
Well, do you know what? I think that's a really lovely place for us to stop there with that little, that really lovely way of talking about Barking and Dagenham. I think that's been really positive. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
That's all right. It's been a pleasure. And love all your podcasts. They're all brilliant. You've got some really wonderful people that you've spoken to. Absolutely brilliant people.
Oh, well, that's been really lovely. Thank you, Alison.
All right, you take care.
And you, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Oh, I do love Alison.
Good egg, very good egg. And again, I think now we've done quite a few of these, you can start to feel the kind of the themes that no matter what perspective people are talking from, there's certain things that seem to crop up time and time again.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much about kind of community, looking out for each other, discovering the tiny things in life that you might have missed before. That seems to come up all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, and like especially like talking about the borough, and I'm sure lots of people from who live in different places have experienced this as well, but just finding stuff that was on your doorstep that before you either took for granted or didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the way in which that community along the river have just taken charge of that place and are really thinking with such care about looking after that place now, and you know, the rubbish collections that happen over there via Road in Rubbish, and you know, just the Road and River Trust and everybody that's putting so much care and effort into making that an area of natural beauty. That's lush, ain't it?
Yeah, it was really lovely. And it wasn't until, because in the conversation, Alison said to me about meeting the couple who'd lived in Barking 20 years and didn't realise there was a river.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until afterwards that I remembered that actually until a couple of years ago, I don't think I realised, which is awful in a lot of ways. But it was just because I'd sort of, obviously I lived more in Dagenham, like actually growing up. I sort of had the first few years in Barking. But my sort of childhood that I remember is more Dagenham. And yeah, I don't know. I wasn't aware, I guess. But there we go. All the different things we're discovering.
Well, exactly. And I guess, you know, your desire lines and your paths to work, your paths to school, they are what they are, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I think the outdoors thing and people sort of wanting to know what they've got around them a bit more, I feel like that might stick, you know. I mean, you can't be sure, but especially now with things changing slightly again, I think that need for community and the sort of the space around you feels really important. And it's just another reminder.
Oh, yeah. And it's come out in so many of the interviews that we've done. You think about Sean from DigiLab and the Street Tag app and, you know, about getting people out. You think about Glenn from Dagenham and Redbridge FC. You know, he talks about valuing just the opportunity to just get on his bike and go for a ride. Just that opportunity to be outdoors, not doing anything massive or, you know, we're not climbing a mountain or anything here, but just being outdoors in the fresh air. That has come through in so many of the interviews we've done, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. Yeah, I think it's been important to a lot of people, and just especially when something's taken away in a really simple way, and we're not just, you know, because you forget how, like, the walk to the station or whatever, and when that's not happening, you're like, oh, I'm really craving just sort of being outside. So, yeah, it was a really lovely chat.
Yeah, and do you know what's funny is I saw a couple of things on Facebook this week with people going, God, I've actually got blisters from putting my shoes on and doing the school run because I ain't been doing that for so long. I'm out of the habit of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It is strange, the things that you sort of always thought were normal that all of us, because you've had a big gap from them, it's like, oh, okay, I'm doing this. Like, I've only been on a few like district line trains, and still now it's still a bit odd sometimes. I'm like, oh, okay, this feels a bit weird, which I never, you know, I was on them so often before that I never even thought about it.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things I love about Alison as well, is her passion for the borough and for seeing things in different ways is really infectious. And, you know, she just reminds you of how important it is to just look around yourself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's got a really, you can feel that when you're chatting to her. You can tell she loves this place, which is great. And we need more of that, I think, and taking pride in the lovely place we call Barking and Dagenham.
Well, can I use this moment to talk about something that we're doing to show our love for Barking and Dagenham at Studio 3 Arts?
I guess I can allow that.
thank you very much. Thank you very much. So every year, I say every year, for the last 4 years, we've done a thing called the IG11 Art Trail, which is all about putting art into unexpected places in Barking, right?
So it which Alison actually mentioned. So that's a nice little...
There you go, exactly. I thought I'd bring this up at this point. So we've done it in Barking over the last 3 years. This is the fourth year. But this year, we're also extending it into the RM10 postcode, now that we've got a building in Dagenham as well. And the whole idea is to fill them postcodes with art. So it might be on the railings of a church hall. It might be in your front window. It might be in a GP waiting room. It might be in a pub, a cafe, whatever. We just want to make them postcodes into a living, breathing art exhibition for about 6 weeks towards the end of the year. And just today, we've just done the call out for artists. So this is an open invitation for anybody in Barking and Dagenham who would like to show some of their artwork in an exhibition. And I'm not talking you have to be a professional paid artist or nothing like that. Anyone that's got a passion for putting pen to paper, writing a poem, whatever it is, we would love to show you a work in our big exhibition in IG11 and RM10. So if it's all right with you, Matt, we'll put the link at the end of the podcast. And I would love to see some applications come through because of listening to this.
Sounds great. Sounds like a beautiful thing to be doing. Yeah, brilliant.
I think it's the right time, ain't it?
Yeah. I think we need, as much as we can, all these nice little things, we need to try and keep as many of them going and just keep pushing forward with that stuff.
Yeah, and I know it's going to be different to what we've been in previous years. We're not going to be able to have exhibitions inside buildings for loads of people to come into and all that jazz. But we've got other ways that we can do it, and I'm determined that we're going to fill those postcodes with beautiful art for 6 weeks.
More accessible anyway, let's be honest. So,
well, yeah, maybe there is that. So, my love, what does your week hold?
I'm off to Cambridge for a working weekend, working on a project there. I had an eye test the other day, so I'll also be spending some time scaling the internet. Is that the right word? Scaling?
Yeah, that'll do.
Great. Scaling the internet for glasses with large frames that will suit my big head. How about you?
Oh, do you know, I will just say I am very good at helping people choose glasses. If you need someone to help you.
You will regret saying that, but thank you very much. 7,000 links later and I was like, why did I mention it?
What does my week entail? Not a lot. I've got quite a quiet one coming up. I do fancy a roast dinner on the weekend. So I'm going to try and cook a roast dinner. I say try and cook because it's not my strong point of roast dinner. But yeah, I intend to have a very chilled one in my four-person bubble in my house. Or six if you include the cats.
Lovely. Lovely. Sounds gorgeous.
So that'll be that. So yeah, I'll say goodbye to you now, my love. And I'll speak to you soon. Have a good week.
See you next week, my love.
All right. Night-night.
Night-night.
Bye.
So that's it for this episode of Back to Ours. Hope you enjoyed the chat, and please remember there's a lot of support out there in Barking and Dagenham. You know when something doesn't feel right, so let's speak out and keep each other safe. If someone's life is in danger, call 999 immediately. Or if you're worried about a child's safety, you can call 0208 227 3811. If it's an adult safety you're concerned about, you can call 0208 227 2915. And if you need support around domestic abuse, you can call 0300 456 0174. Look after yourself, and we'll talk to you next time.